Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff? Only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk. Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to my favorite time of the week, Thursdays at 3 o'clock Eastern Time, for the Junk Refund Show, where I am, as we speak, in my Dodge Ram pickup truck. We're going to talk a little bit about Dodge Ram pickup trucks today. I'm in my truck getting on the freeway in Rockville, Maryland. I'm headed to Fairfax, Virginia to empty the truck over there. We just got it loaded. The timing couldn't have been better. And now it's all about get on BBS Radio and have fun with the Junk Refund Show, which I love to do. So this trip may take me an hour just because of the traffic that we'll run into at, 3 o'clock Eastern Time crossing the American Legion Bridge from Maryland into Virginia. But that's okay, because that's how much time we got for the show. Got a lot of fun things to talk about, and I'm just going to kind of do them in random order. I guess if I put a title for this show out there, it would be An Attitude of Gratitude. That's what I would call it. That's just kind of how I'm feeling based on what's happened in the last week. It starts with my trip to Wisconsin last week to help a lady clean out part of her storage unit. She is about, it's probably in her mid to upper 40s, maybe early 50s. Her husband died at the age of 50 about a year and a half ago. He was a welder, and he had lots of tools and other stuff in his storage unit. And she just graduated from massage therapy school, kind of getting on with her life to do something kind of new and exciting. And she is moving to Michigan with her partner to start school or start a business there, from what I understand. And so she needs to get some of the stuff cleaned out from her storage unit. So I have talked many times in the past about the Go Wild Pass on Frontier Airlines. That's a pass where you either buy a semi-annual pass, a six-month pass for about $300, or you buy an annual pass, which is what I do, for $600, and then you fly free on Frontier Airlines wherever they fly domestically and internationally, except you have to pay the airport taxes. Those airport taxes are a little bit higher internationally than they are domestically, but the airfare on the ticket that you purchase is one penny, and then you just pay the taxes. So this lady lives in New London, Wisconsin. And when you Google that and look it up, it's about 30 miles west of Green Bay, and it's about three and a half hours driving time north of Chicago. There are seven different airports you can choose to get out into that area and then, get yourself to New London. The closest one is in Green Bay, and Frontier flies there, but they only fly there and then come back about twice a week. So if I go in and out of Green Bay, I go in, let's say, Tuesday night, but I don't come back until Friday night, and this job is not going to take me 3 days. So that was one option. Another option is Milwaukee. You fly into Milwaukee. I drive maybe a couple of hours north from there. That was, again, a scheduling problem. You could fly into Minneapolis, about 4 hours west of New London. Rent a pickup truck and then turn around and drive back, you know, et cetera. You can fly into Chicago Midway or Chicago O'Hare. Most of those flights go through Denver. And I have four different airports to take off from. I can go from Dulles, Virginia, Reagan National in Virginia, basically the D.C. airport, BWI, Baltimore, Washington International, or I can go from Philadelphia. If I take a two-hour, you know, train ride or drive up to Philadelphia, I can make that work. So I've got four airports to go out of, seven airports to go into. I even looked at Cleveland, which if I go into Cleveland, it's like an eight-hour drive to get into Wisconsin. And I'm checking out all the Indianapolis, you know, I'm just checking out all the different cities around that area that Frontier flies into. It worked out that I could fly from, I think I went out of Baltimore on this trip. I can't keep them straight. But I ended up flying down to Atlanta. This is a Frontier ticket. I go down to Atlanta. Then I turn around. I go to Chicago Midway. And that fare is $16. It's a guaranteed seat. I paid an extra $15 to get the exit row. It cost me $15 to get to Midway. I then rent a truck. I go on Priceline. These are shout-outs for all of these apps and other things that make life so much easier. I like to go on Priceline to find rental cars, and because I'm renting full-size pickup trucks. So I've got to make sure they're available in the different airports. They're available in Chicago Midway, and it was only about $50 a day with unlimited miles to get a pickup truck. So I reserved that. So I fly down to Atlanta, turn around, fly to Chicago Midway, rent a truck, and I have my choice. I ended up renting it through Enterprise, which we have a nationwide account with for bigger trucks that we use. But I ended up getting a pickup truck, and I had a choice of a Ford F-150, a white one, that had the plastic liner in the back of the cab to protect the cab. Or the bed of the truck, not the cab, but to project the bed of the truck. Or my favorite color, an oxblood kind of reddish Dodge Ram pickup truck, which I drive Dodge Rams normally, but there was no liner in the bed of the truck, and I was about to go do a hauling job, and that Dodge Ram looked like a brand new truck. I was so excited about the color of the Dodge that I forgot the issue of something that will protect the bed. So I hop in the Dodge and take off on a three and a half hour drive north to New London, Wisconsin. Now, the flight that I left on a Wednesday morning. The lady is going out of town Thursday morning. She needs the unit cleaned out by Wednesday night. But it's not the entire unit. It's only about half the stuff that's in the unit. So it works out that I can leave at what was probably 7 in the morning on Wednesday morning. Maybe it was 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning. I think it was. I left at 9, went down to Atlanta, got up to Chicago Midway by about 2:30, rented the truck, and drove north, and got there at the storage unit at about 7 o'clock that night. Cost me $16 plus the cost of the rental truck, which is $50. No big deal. I meet her. She's a really nice lady. She's got some couch. She opens up the storage unit. She actually has two storage units. She opens up the one, and most of the stuff I'm going to take is in unit number one, but there's also some stuff kind of hidden in the middle of the unit that she needs to get back to, and her suggestion, and some other stuff is over in unit number two. So her suggestion was, let's take all the stuff that you need to take from unit number one and go put it in unit number two. Then all you got to do is come in and clean out unit number two, which basically means the front half of unit number two. And I thought, that makes sense to me. From 7 p.m. till about 9:30, we used her pickup truck and my pickup truck to just move stuff from Unit 1 to Unit 2 and get it ready to be hauled away on Thursday, which means she can then take off and doesn't need to be there, and everybody knows what needs to be taken by me. And then as soon as I'm done, it's, you know, back to Chicago Midway, where I have a 10 o'clock flight Thursday night that gets me back into Washington, D.C. Friday at about noon. So this is going to work out really well. I'm not going to waste any time sitting around in airports and other stuff. It should work out just fine. So that's what transpired, and that's the beginning of the story. So we get the units all done. I use my Wyndham Rewards app to book a room for just using points at a local Travelodge hotel, and with a king-size bed, it cost me nothing. And I have to backtrack for a second here. The reason why I'm going through these costs is that this job was supposed to be a $1,000 job. And based on her explanation and the size of the unit and everything, we can kind of determine about how much it's going to cost. But the Friday before, I did a special deal. I wanted to do something for this girl named Tina down in Atlanta, who I've talked about on this show a few times over the last 5 or 6 months. And on Friday morning, I sent her a text message. I said, hey, what's something I can do for you today that would mean a lot to you? And she got back to me a little while later and says, wow, what a nice message. Let me give that some thought. So this was about 2 o'clock now on Friday afternoon. And then I had the thought, wait a minute, why don't you just give her your time instead? Just give her your time. And I thought, okay, from 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock Friday afternoon, any money that comes into my business from jobs that I do or from people that pay us in advance to do a job or whatever, any money I make from 4 to 6 p.m., I'm going to Zelle down to Tina at about 6:05. And I had no idea. I had no appointment set up. I had nothing, you know, in advance, you know, prepared for this. I didn't even think of the idea until 2:30 Friday afternoon. But once I thought of that idea, I started to kind of put it into motion. And I got back to her and I said, hey, actually, here's what I'm going to do. And I told her what I was going to do. I said, I'll get back to you at about 6:01. I'll let you know how we did. I said, I don't know if I'm going to make $10 or if I'm going to make $1,000. I have no clue. But I am going to try. And whatever I make, I'm just going to send to you. Well, she loved that idea. She thought that was brilliant. And the great thing about sending money to somebody that you care about is that they get to pick what they do with the money. You know, they get a lot of options and a lot of freedom that way. So I send a text message down to a lady in Virginia, Burke, Virginia. We call her the piano lady because we initially 12 years ago went and helped her, and we moved out a big stinking piano from her house. And I have since gone back numerous times over the 12 years. This is the kind of lady that everybody wants to have as a friend. If you need to make some money and she's one of your customers, if you send her a text and say, hey, here's a special deal we're doing, and I'm doing it for this purpose, she will probably contribute, whether she needs your services or not. And that's what this wonderful lady did. She came in and bought a couple of our radio show vouchers, which are $79. You get them if you live in the Washington, D.C. area, the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. You call into the radio show, 888-627-6008. You talk to our producer, Don. You give him your name and number. You won't be on the show. You just give him your name and number. And he emails me after the show, and he says, hey, Jane called in and wants to buy two vouchers. And I send the vouchers to Jane by text or email, and she then goes in and buys them. And you get, for each voucher, you get $229 worth of junk removal done for only $79. And the only place you can buy those vouchers is on our radio show. So I go back to the lady, piano lady, my friend, and I say, and she had bought some of these in the past, and I said, hey, I'm doing a special deal this afternoon between 4 and 6, where if you pay for something in advance, I'm taking all the money and sending it to my girlfriend down in Atlanta. I called her my girlfriend, which is a little, I'm a little assertive and a little optimistic, I guess, on that one. But that's the word that you use to convey the message you want to convey to the piano lady. So I said, and to sweeten the deal for you, if you buy some this afternoon, say, if you buy two this afternoon, I'll throw in a third one for free. Well, that's a great deal for her. So, lo and behold, somewhere around 4:30, my phone notifies me that I just received $158 from the piano lady. Well, that money's going to Tina, so we're off to a good start. Then I had some jewelry left over from a job we did, a house we cleaned out. There's a great place in Vienna, Virginia called Bullion Bank, like gold bullion, B-U-L-L-I-O-N, bank. They are also known, I believe, as Vienna Jewelers, but they go by Bullion Bank. I've been there a number of times. I went down to them with some stuff, and this is stuff that I had taken to a previous jeweler and got an offer of $15 for it. I went down to Bullion Bank, the exact same stuff. I got an offer of $60 for it. So I took the $60 in cash and added it to the $158, and we're now up to $218. This is looking good, and it's only about 5 o'clock. Well, one of the other things I did was I called the lady in Wisconsin who was planning to pay us $1,000 to come and do her job, and I said, doing a special thing this afternoon for a friend of mine, if you want to pay for this job in advance, which you don't have to do, but if you want to, I'll give you 20% off. It'll be an $800 job instead of a $1,000 job. She calls me back with a voicemail and says, great, I want to do that. I sent her the link, and about 10 minutes later, I had another $800 come into my company. So I'm now at $1,018, a little bit before 6 o'clock Eastern time, that I have received that's either in my hands or in my PayPal account. So at 6:03, I go in on my phone, and I sell down to Tina $1,018. Now, you tell me what kind of call I'm going to get from Tina. Somewhere around 3 minutes later, I got this text message first with I can't tell you how many exclamation points on it. But it was the best thing I could have possibly done for her because now she has some money to do something with that will allow her to, and she even told me this as we were, going on later, it gave her some money to pay some bills that she was kind of worried about. It relieved her stress of those bills. She told me a couple of days later it was like sending her $1 million. And it was $1,000, right? So when I'm now I need to go do the Wisconsin. So that was a big win. That's my point. And if you want to do something special for somebody you love, give them your time, and in this case, put a monetary value on it, which I can do as a business owner, and I guess I established that my hourly rate is somewhere around $509 an hour, which works just fine for me. So there you go. There's a little prep work onto why the Wisconsin expenses are now critical, because I'm paying them all out of my pocket because I sent Tina $1,018. She has all the money from the job, which is what I wanted to do anyway. It's just fine. So now we'll take a break for a minute, and I'll come back, and I'll take you back to the Wisconsin job, and I'll tell you some more about what happened and my adventures in the land of cheese and milk, Wisconsin. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Alan Cook. We'll be back in about a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Going from Maryland to Virginia, I'm going 15 miles an hour. I'm going to roll up the windows here a little bit, make it a little quieter for everybody. But when I am making my way, this is perfect timing to do a radio show because I'm on the road. I haven't changed my plan at work at all. I'm headed to a transfer facility to empty a pickup truck, and I get to do the radio show on the way, which is awesome. So let's go back to what I'm telling you about. I'm back last week in Wisconsin, and I go in. I'm trying to keep my expenses down, and so far I've paid $16 to fly from Baltimore to Chicago Midway and about $50 to rent a truck and go north. Now, I got to correct myself on one thing. When I went in on Priceline to reserve the truck, I've done this a number of times, but I guess I just didn't fully realize what I was doing. I reserved a standard size pickup truck. That is like a Toyota pickup truck, which is a little smaller than, say, a Ford or Dodge pickup truck. What I wanted to rent was the full-size pickup truck. So shout out to the lady, I can't remember her name now, unfortunately, who works at the Enterprise counter at Chicago Midway Airport. When I got there, I explained the situation. I said, do you have a full-size pickup truck? She says, yeah, that's no problem. It's an extra, you know, $25 or $30 to do it. I go, okay, that's fine. So I got my full-size pickup truck, because, again, I haven't seen how much stuff I'm going to haul away. So I want the largest truck I can get, but I don't want a box truck and have to pay for the mileage to drive it 3.5 hours north, 3.5 hours back, etc. I don't want to get more truck than I need, and I've learned over the years that a pickup truck can kind of imitate a big truck kind of quickly if you're willing to make a few trips. So I'm in the truck, I drive up north, we start to clean out the unit, and I go in Thursday morning to start cleaning out the unit. Now, remember, this truck, I checked the mileage, the odometer, it's got to be a 2024 Dodge Ram. It only has 2,300 miles on it. The paint on the truck is pristine. It's this beautiful, sparkly, oxblood reddish kind of color. My favorite color, and I'm driving this sucker 3.5 hours north from Midway to get to New London, Wisconsin. So the lady is very happy. On Wednesday night, we got everything out of the big unit, put the stuff that I'm supposed to take in the little unit. She knows she's at peace. She can now take off for Michigan to go start her new adventure and her new life there, and I don't need her to be there Thursday morning when I come back to empty out what I obviously need to empty out. So I go back to empty it out, and I take a load of metal, and I Google, you know, where's the nearest scrap yard, and I find out that the nearest scrap yard is about 20 minutes away. I don't remember their name. They were terrific. And I went down there, and I unload all this metal, and they pay me $77 for all the metal. Now, remember, my expenses so far have been $16 for an airfare and what's now about $75 to rent a truck, and I just made $77 on the scrap metal, so this trip so far has cost me about $10. And I'm trying to keep the expenses low because Tina got all the money, which is what I wanted. I was thrilled for her. So all I'm trying to do is get this job done and not spend too much money doing it. So the problem number one is that when you load a bunch of metal into a bed of a truck that is not protected, you're going to scrape the paint. And in this case, when you scrape the paint by pushing heavy metal stuff in like drill presses and, you know, compressors and tools, when you scratch that paint, which is not what I was trying to do, but it's kind of hard to avoid doing that, when you scratch that paint, you get a very bright white scratch mark in the back of this pristine reddish painted truck. So I knew I was creating a problem for myself, but I had to get the job done first, then we'll focus on the truck. So I take a load of scrap metal down. I Google, you know, scrap yards near me. I call them. Yes, you guys buy metal, right? Yes, we do. Are you the closest one to New London, Wisconsin? Yes, I believe we are. How late are you open? 4:30. Great. I'm on my way. I'll see you in about 30 minutes. Terrific. Whammo. I go down. Everything's great. I come back with some cash. I go for load number two. Now, at this point, I'm Googling, where's the nearest transfer station or landfill to where I am? And lo and behold, there's one that's about 15 miles away, kind of out in this beautiful dairyland countryside of Wisconsin. But it's only about 15 miles away. Some of these have a minimum payment of like $100 if you go in there even with a small pickup truck. Others have a minimum payment of $20. I called them to verify that as a commercial company, I could use their dump. The stuff's coming from New London, et cetera, et cetera. And they say, yeah, it's no problem. The minimum's $20. Do you take Visa and MasterCard? No, it's only cash or check. I went, you don't take credit cards? No, we don't. Just cash or check. I went, good. Glad I called. Okay. And what if I'm going to make a couple of runs? You know, can I just, do you like keep a tab for me, or do I pay you each time? No, we can keep a tab for you. Just pay us $20 the first time at the end of the day. I love this kind of countryside work with your neighbors mentality, and that's kind of what was happening here. So I go back to the storage unit after scraping the truck up from the scrap metal yard. And now I'm kind of going, well, it's all scraped up. I'm not suddenly worried about scraping it again. I've already done some damage. I'm just worried about somehow not turning it in with all that damage on it. So I go back. I load up some stuff that is junk, maybe some old furniture, some old, you know, record albums or whatever, stuff that is obvious junk. I load it up. I make the dash. And on the way to the transfer station, I pass a gorgeous, restored, vintage automobile that is designed for a Green Bay Packers fan. It is green and yellow painted. It has a helmet stripe or something down right down the middle of the car. It has a mini Riddell football helmet as the hood ornament on the front of the car. And lo and behold, it is a 1950 Packard, with a D on the end, Packard automobile that some brilliant fan had restored and now drives to Green Bay to go to the Packers games and is probably the most popular guy on the road when he does. Now, I drove past it on my way to the dump. It was on the right-hand side, kind of parked in the driveway of a farmhouse. And I go on to the dump. The guys at the dump were fabulous. They were terrific. Fun to work with, easy to do. I unload the stuff. I turn around, I come back, and I got to find out the story to this car. So as I'm driving back, I spot the car again. Now it's on the left side of the road. I pull into the driveway of this farmhouse right behind the car, and I get out in a large metal shed, yells over to me and says, hey, we're over here. I went, oh, okay. So I walk across the street, and inside the metal shed you've got a guy sitting there on the left who is a TV and radio personality. I didn't know it at the time, but he is. I can't tell you his name off the top of my head. Next to him is a Hispanic gentleman, gray-haired gentleman, who car. Next to him is the lady who is the wife and co-owner of the farmland there. And next to her in a wheelchair is her husband sitting there with a big smile on his face enjoying his life. Those are the people that are in the shed, but what's behind the people is fascinating too. There are seven perfectly restored vintage automobiles parked in this big metal shed. They range, they told me what some of them are. One of them was a convertible. These are all from the 50s, maybe the 60s, but 50s or 40s. They are beautifully restored. They're all lined up there. One of them on the end was kind of a big black car owned by a mortuary. I don't think it was a hearse, but it was probably from the 1930s or 1940s. And all of a sudden, it's not just the Packer car that I'm fascinated with. It's six or seven more that are inside this shed. So I had to just, so I told them, you know, I'm here from Washington, D.C., and I'm doing a junk removal job, and I saw the Green Bay Packers car, and I do a radio show, and I just want to talk about this. This is fascinating stuff. I'm here, you know, doing a job in Wisconsin. So anyway, I end up spending about 20 minutes talking with these people, and I tell them about my friend Bill Marriott. J. Willard Marriott Jr. legitimately is my friend. I went to church with him for a number of years here in the Bethesda, Maryland area. And he is an automobile collector. And I've been to his home, and I've seen his collection of, let's say, 20 sports cars, some of these vintage sports cars. He has the sports car from Adolf Hitler's number one driver who would race cars in various races for, you know, Nazi Germany. He has that car, the 1936 Berlin Roadster car, we'll call it. That's one of the 20 cars. So when I mentioned to people in Wisconsin that Bill Marriott's a friend of mine and that I've been to see his car collection, I asked them, naturally, I said, is this collection for sale? And the gentleman sitting in the wheelchair said, it is, if we get the right price. And I didn't bother to ask him the right price, but I was kind of thrilled to know that I've just stumbled onto a collection of six or seven pristine vintage automobiles that are for sale. And I said to myself, Bill's going to be in. I got to tell him about this. This will be great. I took some photos and a video of the collection while the gentleman, the Hispanic gentleman, was talking to me and telling me all about it. I then went across the street, and he came with me, and he told me all about this 1950 Packard automobile and showed me a booklet that had the original car in it. It was originally kind of a white cream-colored car. Someone else bought it and had it painted so it would be a Green Bay Packers car. Someone else then bought it, and then I think this guy bought it from the third guy, something like that. So it's gone through a few hands. But inside the car, it looks like a food tray of all your favorite foods that you'd get at a football game. It's a life-size tray sitting in there, but it's all plastic. The steering wheel is wrapped in Green Bay Packers leather, you know, wrap. There are Green Bay Packers necklaces and chains hanging down from the rearview mirror. The hood ornament is a Riddell Green Bay Packers football helmet. The seats and the carpet and everything inside is just amazing. I mean, it's all vintage stuff. And this guy drives this car to all the Packers home games. And you can imagine, is a celebrity. When he gets there, because he pulls up in this Packard, 1950 Packard car. He told me while we were talking that he believes it is the only Packard automobile in the world that is designed for the Green Bay Packers. He showed me an album of photos. He had Bart Starr in there, you know, with some other people. He had the general manager and I guess the owner of the Green Bay Packers wrote him a letter and told him how excited he was about this automobile. He has pictures of different celebrities standing next to the automobile. So I am there to do my, you know, do my junk removal job. The money's already been sent to this girl down in Atlanta. I'm just trying to keep my expenses down. And now I stumble into what could be a multi-million dollar automobile collection that's for sale. And that's my life, folks. That's what happened. So I spent about a half hour talking with these people, took some photos, got a video of them, a wonderful experience. And then I head back to the storage unit for trip number two. Trip number two is going to be some of the bigger stuff, some couches. There is a large three-person reclining sofa, dark brown, that is in bad shape but is very heavy. I load that into the truck first, and I even am putting some stuff, some plastic shelving, on the bed of the truck to try and protect it so I don't scratch it up any more than I already have. And yet I'm loading furniture in there, this big sofa. I put that one in. Then there's a love seat, same color, same reclining type of thing. I put that one in. Then there's like a glorified chair slash mini love seat. That is item number three. And I load that into the pickup truck, and I put it on top. And I'm going, okay, this is great. Now, because I'm on the road, I don't have any straps with me, so I kind of position this stuff in the truck so that it'll be safe. And everything will, you know, make it to the dump just fine. So it's about a 15-mile drive. I've got these three couches in the back of this brand-new pickup truck. I've already scratched the bed of the pickup truck a number of times unintentionally, but that's what happened. That's in the back of my mind. I've got to solve that before I turn the truck back in. The lady is gone. I know where there's a million-dollar car collection for sale. I've just spent time talking to a gentleman about a 1950 Packard automobile that is painted to look like the Green Bay Packers. And I'm now headed back to the transfer facility with three couches in the back of this pickup truck. So I dash off, headed back 15 miles to the transfer facility. I pull in there, you weigh the truck first, you then go in and do a little U-turn and you back the truck into the facility where you're going to dump the stuff. And as I back the truck up and get it to where they want it done, and I get out of the pickup truck and I walk around to the back and I let the tailgate down, I only have two couches in the back of the truck. I started with three. That's called a problem. We're going to take a break for a minute. When I come back from this break, I'll tell you how I solved that problem and some other problems that surfaced on this wonderful trip to Wisconsin as a junk removal guy. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio and BBS Radio TV, and I will be back in about a minute. We'll take a break, and we'll come back and give you, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show, where I'm giving you kind of a Paul Harvey rest of the story thing for this last segment of the show. I'm talking about an experience I had last week doing a junk removal job in Wisconsin, and I was cleaning out a storage unit with a pickup truck, a brand new, beautiful red Dodge Ram pickup truck, and I'm hauling a three-person couch, a two-person love seat, and a one-and-a-half-person mini love seat, all the same color, all need to be junked. I've got the three of them stacked in the back of my pickup truck with the smallest one on top. When I get to the dump 15 miles later, driving on some highways out, you know, two-lane highways out in the countryside, no freeway stuff or anything, just two-lane highways out in the countryside, I get to the dump, I turn the truck around, I back the truck up to the dump, I get out of the truck, I walk around to the back of the pickup truck, and lo and behold, I've only got two couches in the truck. The third one that was on top is missing, to which I just simply say to myself, oh, crap. Now, you have to understand the possibilities here. Number one, you get ticketed for not tarping or tying down your load. Number two, that you don't know where that couch is. And it's your couch. You're responsible. You got to find out where that thing is. Number three, if it pops out of your truck and you're going 50 miles an hour down the highway, it could cause an accident for the guy behind you and somebody could die. There are traffic accident possibilities now that are surfacing in my mind. Number four, you say to yourself, how in the world could I not notice with my side view mirrors and my rear view mirror a large mini, kind of a mini love seat flying out of the back of my truck? And maybe it came out at the entrance to the dump. I started thinking, are there any bumps that I hit that it would? No, I couldn't think of any bumps that I hit. But all of a sudden, there's a lesson here about, you know, cover your backside, but also you're responsible for what you do. And so all of a sudden, I'm thinking, okay, worst case scenario. So I take the other two sofas out of the truck, scratch the bed of the truck again, doing that. Try not to, but that's just what happens. So I now have an empty truck, and I now start to retrace my steps to go back to try to find a missing sofa somewhere on some highway in Wisconsin. Well, it's a 15-mile ride back to where I loaded them, and I even think, you know, maybe when I was coming out of the storage facility, I turned too sharp, and maybe it just bounced out, and it's back at the storage facility. I have no idea where this is. So I get back on the highway. I'm driving back towards the storage unit, and about 8 miles back towards the storage unit, on a two-lane highway where traffic is going 50 miles an hour, there on the left side of the road as I'm driving back is the couch. I go back, I think, oh my God, but thank God, and I pictured this in my mind, you know, two ambulances and four police cars and a fire engine surrounding them, right? Because it caused some accident somewhere. And, you know, your head, your heart kind of sinks down into your toes when you do this because you don't know for sure what you're going to find. Well, fortunately enough for me, it was just the couch. And it was sitting there on the right side of the road by itself. It looked like it had bounced a couple of times. And that's my responsibility, that couch. So I basically said, thank God it's by itself. There aren't a bunch of police cars around it. And that's a good sign. And I go down, I pass the couch, I do a quick U-turn, I drive back. I put on the hazard lights. I load that sucker in the truck as fast as I can, more out of embarrassment than anything else. Close the gate, scrape the truck up again and do another U-turn and head back to the storage unit. At least I found the couch. At least it's not on the side of the road. At least it apparently didn't cause an accident for anybody. And there are no police cars around it, which there could have easily been. And I go back to the storage unit. There's now another load of stuff to pick up. I do a Goodwill run to donate some stuff. I do one more junk run. And I go back to this transfer facility. I empty the truck. The job is now done. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My flight is not until 10:55 p.m. And lo and behold, I'm 30 minutes from Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I've never been to Green Bay, Wisconsin. When I was a little kid, I would send letters out to NFL quarterbacks asking for autographed pictures. Bart Starr of the Green Bay Packers is one of the guys who sent me, or his people sent me, one of his photos with his autograph on it. I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool Packers fan, but I have a son-in-law who is, and I have a nephew who loves Aaron Rodgers, going back a few years when he was with the Packers. But this is one of the most historic football stadiums in the world, certainly in the United States and in the world. And I just had to go check it out, and I had time. So I've got two concerns left. Number one, somehow I've got to repair the scratches in the back of this and in the sides of this truck. Number two, I need to get back to Chicago Midway Airport, which is about a 3.5-hour drive, by about 8 o'clock at night so I can turn the truck in. And number three, I've got some gifts and stuff I want to go see. I want to go see Lambeau Field, or at least go get a taste of Green Bay Packers countryside, you know. So because I am coming from the dump, Lambeau Field in Green Bay is now only maybe 15 miles away. So I head over there, not knowing exactly what I'm going to find, but there outside the stadium is, I'm going to call it the Packers Pro Shop. I think that's what it's called. It's the Green Bay Packers store, filled with all kinds of awesome stuff. And I've got a new granddaughter who is 2 months old, whose dad is an avid Packers fan. And so I go in and I find a little girl's outfit for a newborn that says, "I'm a little Green Bay Packers fan." So I buy that thing. I love to collect the mini Riddell football helmets of the NFL teams, particularly when I'm at a game where I got to watch them play. And I just like to add to my collection. This is the perfect time to buy a Green Bay Packers Riddell helmet, which is there, and I find that, and I was thrilled to get that. I've got a nephew who's moved from San Diego to Phoenix, Arizona, who is a big Aaron Rodgers fan and a big Green Bay Packers fan, and I told him 2 or 3 years earlier, I told him, "Hey, what's something you'd like for Christmas or something, or your birthday?" He said an Aaron Rodgers Green Bay Packers jersey would be awesome. I said, "No problem, I'll get you one." Subsequent to that, I did a job in Wisconsin, different storage unit, cleaned it out, and lo and behold, there's a plastic bin in that storage unit full of Green Bay Packers stuff, including an Aaron Rodgers Packers jersey. I'm going fabulous. My prayers have been answered. I'm sending this to my nephew. I went from that job a few years ago to Chicago, to Nauvoo, Illinois, to watch my daughter and my new son-in-law perform in a religious pageant in Nauvoo, Illinois. And while there, with the Packers, you know, jersey and box of stuff in my truck, while there, I learned he's an avid Packers fan. And I pulled my daughter aside and I said, "Like, serious avid Packers fan?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, I got something for him." And I decided to give him the container of Packers stuff, including the Aaron Rodgers jersey. Best thing I could have done for my son-in-law. Now I got a problem with my nephew, but I'll work that out later. So here I am a year and a half later. I'm in the Packers Pro Shop at Lambeau Field, and I asked them, knowing that Aaron Rodgers has moved on to the New York Jets as of a couple of years ago, I asked them if they still have any Aaron Rodgers jerseys. Yes, we do. They said they're on that wall over there. There's a few of them left over there still because people still want to buy them. This is the authentic NFL Green Bay Packers jersey that sells brand new for $150, but because Aaron is now playing for the Jets, they're on sale for half price. I went, fabulous. Give me an extra large, $75. Awesome. I bought a brand new Packers jersey for my nephew without telling him. And he has probably received it by now. I just haven't heard from him unless he's out of town or whatever. But yeah, I'm going to get a very excited phone call from my nephew telling me thank you for that jersey. And it was half price. Then for the girl in Atlanta who just looks fabulous, and you can take a dress from Target and put it on her, or you can take a dress from Saks Fifth Avenue and put it on her, and she will make them both look like $1 million. That's just who Tina is. That's how she looks. She just looks fabulous. So on a mannequin in this store is this gorgeous Packers, you know, kind of a, it's not a T-shirt, it's like a glorified T-shirt in the Packers, you know, green, white, and yellow colors, and some beautiful shorts that you'd put on if you want to go out and go running, for example, or you want to just do some things around the house. And it's the most eye-catching thing in the store, in my opinion. It just looks fabulous on this mannequin, and I'm going, that's got Tina written all over it. And so I bought that outfit for her. So I pick up the little kid's outfit for my granddaughter, the infant's outfit. I get the Aaron Rodgers jersey for my nephew. I pick up a Riddell Packers helmet for me. And I pick up this hot, casual, sporty, good-looking outfit for this girl in Atlanta. And I walk in there, and I paid, I don't know, $200-something, and I was the happiest guy in Lambeau Field. And you should have seen all the Packers stuff, you know, the cheesehead stuff you can buy and whatever. All that stuff, all over the place, jerseys and helmets and, you know, all kinds of stuff. This is a very big store, and I was just thrilled that I came away with the stuff that I came away with. I was very happy. Now it's about 4:30. I've now got to solve the problem of the scratches in the pickup truck, because if I don't and I turn it in, they're going to send me an email that says, hello, Mr. Cook, you returned this truck damaged. We have to charge your car $1,200 to repaint the back of this truck. So we don't want that to happen. So I looked up the local Dodge dealership in Green Bay, Wisconsin. It was about 4 miles away. I drive over there and I go into the parts department. I take a picture of the vehicle identification number, the VIN number that's on the front of the truck. And I take it into him and I say, do you have any of those tubes or pins of touch-up paint for this particular truck? The guy takes the VIN number, he puts it in the computer. The truck is a 2024. He says, hold on just a minute. And he goes in the back room and he comes back. And lo and behold, there's a brand new pen, a touch-up paint pen in oxblood red colored paint for $20. I said, I'll take it. So I take the pen, and now the finish line is now in sight. I Google Midway, Chicago Midway Airport. I start heading back there, and about an hour into the trip, there's a rest area. I pull over into the rest area. I get out. I grab the pen. I get in the back of the truck on the bed. First, I let the tailgate down, and I look for any white marks on the tailgate, and I take this pen, and I start to cover up those marks. And I'm telling you, when I covered up the very first mark, the paint matched perfectly, and I honestly couldn't tell where the mark had been left. And I knew that my problem was about to be solved. For 45 minutes at a rest area in God knows where, Wisconsin, I'm in the back of this brand new pickup truck with a pen bends over, looking for any little scratch mark that's inside the bed of that truck. Some of those scratch marks were on the wheel wells and were 2 feet long. This bright white scratch mark on both sides. Some were on the tailgate, the inside of the tailgate. None were on the outside of the truck. I kept that pristine. But there were a bunch of scratches on the inside, both big and little scratches. 45 minutes it took me to cover up all those scratches. And I would go in and I'd go, wow, there's a whole section of scratches. And I would go in and bend down and look over and cover them all up. And then I would step back and look at it. And there were 10 more that I'd overlooked. And so I go back and I cover those 10 up. And I step back and look at it. And there are 3 more that I still overlooked. And I go back and I cover up those 3. And I get those 3 done. And after 45 minutes, I look at this bed of this truck, and I cannot find a white mark anywhere on the bed of the truck. Now I know that it's safe to turn in. So I take the pen, happy now, thrilled. I have no problem here. I take the pen. I stick it inside the glove box just so it stays with the truck in case anybody else runs into this and thinks to look in the glove box and knows what it might be. Probably won't ever happen, but I don't need the pen, so I leave it in the truck. I go back to Midway Airport. I turn in the truck. They say, thank you very much, Mr. Cook. I go into the airport. I get on the flight. The flight goes to Denver. I get into Denver about 12:30 in the morning, and my flight to Washington, D.C. leaves at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I spend about 5 hours sleeping in the Denver airport with about 200 other people. I've done it many times, and I actually can fall asleep. I set my alarm to make sure, you know, I get up and everything. And I come back, and I get back to Washington, D.C., go back to my home, and I walk in with my Green Bay Packers gifts to send to people. And I say those 3 words that I commonly say when I come back from a trip on the road where I don't really know what's going to happen to me when I leave. And those 3 words are magical, and those words are, I did it. And when you say those words to yourself out loud with enthusiasm, your self-esteem and your confidence doubles. And I've been telling myself I did it for decades. But I still get a big thrill over accomplishing something that was going to be challenging. It was not on my home turf. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. I've come away with knowledge of a beautiful antique car collection that's for sale. But I want to close the show with one last comment about this $20 pen. Nobody in life is perfect. We all make mistakes. We all screw up. And sometimes we leave big scratches on our lives, and sometimes we leave little scratches on our lives. But there is a pen out there that you can get. My training says it's Jesus Christ and it's God, right? It's religion, but there's a pen out there that is available that allows you to cover up the scratch marks in your life as though they never happened in the first place. And you can move on with life proud that even though you made some mistakes, and even though you screwed up, and even though you knew that when you threw that metal welder in the truck, it's going to scrape this brand new truck bed, there's a way to get it resolved and covered up, and everybody's happy, everybody's good, and you don't have to worry about the mistakes that you made. Remember that story the next time you scratch something. You can cover up the scratch. That's why they make specific pens for automobiles, so you can cover up the scratches and get rid of them in your vehicle. We also talk on this show about how to get the junk out of your life. Remember this analogy of the pen and the brand new truck that I took up into Wisconsin, which when I turned it in, still looked brand new, and it only cost me $20 to take care of what could be a multi-$1,000 problem. There's a life lesson there, and you don't need me to tell you any more about it. Join us next week. I've got one of the most accomplished young ladies in the state of Utah, a former Miss Utah, Miss America pageant contestant and now a recent law school graduate, Jesse Craig Bailey, is my guest next week on the show. This girl has grit, and we're going to talk about it and have her teach us all how to do what she's doing with her wonderful life. Thanks for listening to Junk Refund Show. I'll see you next week at 3 o'clock Eastern on bbsradio.com. Thanks to Don Newsom, our producer, always does a fabulous job. And thanks for listening, and go buy yourself a pen to cover up your mistakes. They are for sale. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.